This is EdTech Weekly, episode 13, unlucky 13, we'll see. On today's show, we talk about what gadgets are doing to kids today, how to get over 200 free technical ebooks from Microsoft, and how a partnership between a California university and one in Mexico are trying to make algebra easier. Matt, we're working to make this show better, and I do have some ideas, and we've talked about some ways that we can make it better with some other segments, but until I get it a little more refined and what I want it to be like, I think we're just going to stick with the news, and when I can add that end segment that I want to do and do it right, we'll get to that. What do you think about that, Matt?
I think it sounds good. We can play around with it a little bit more and make sure that we're bringing the people what they absolutely need and in a consumable fashion that will make them happy.
Matt, the people deserve what they want and what they need. They deserve both.
Absolutely.
We should be giving it to them, Matt.
Oh, I think we're going to, and I'm going to bring it. You know what? This episode, it's going to be mine. I'm just going to be the MVP. It's fine.
Well, I will definitely defer to you to be the MVP. Well, let's start with our first story. Let's see how far you can take this MVP status. It's from CNET, and they report on a video produced by General Mills Canada to help promote some sort of nature-y type food product they have, Matt. We find ourselves again watching another ad produced by a large company to tell us how we're supposed to be feeling and thinking about tech in this world. Any thoughts on this, Matt?
Honestly, I find it somewhat odd for a company like this to say, you know, we're not taking our kids out into nature and thusly we're letting them down. Technology is too important and we're keeping our kids away from nature. It's okay, everybody. We've made our Nature Valley, you know, foodstuffs have less dyes and stuff in them. I don't mean to sound all that cynical, but I don't think that preaching like this is necessarily going to be changing anything other than food habits. I think this goes almost hand in hand with the Google story from last week, the partnership that they have with the National Park Service. We can take our kids outside. We can go do stuff outside. We can decide to make these changes. And I think a great part of that is food. But I can't blame technology for it. I mean, it just...
MVP.
We need to do a better job.
MVP. MVP.
It lives inside of us. We have to find the fire inside of us. To make it happen.
The people are fired up with this MVP performance, Matt. You did bring it. You're not lying. I guess at the end of the day, we have this battle between technology and nature. And there's absolutely no reason why technology destroys our love of nature any more than it destroys any other part of our culture. I mean, if we're sitting around a table and everyone's on their own cell phone, then our communication skills are going to start to suffer because we're not using them. And if we're on our phone and looking at playing a game while we're out near these beautiful redwood trees, then we're not getting the true enjoyment of that either. I mean, I think it's a battle that we have with technology no matter what we're talking about that isn't something with technology.
Oh, I think it's just, honestly, you could boil it down to it's the battle of anything new versus what existed in the past. It's basically a paradigm shift of how we look at life. And, you know, when TV came out, it killed books. Video killed the radio star. I mean, all these different things. I think that one's true, though.
Yeah, I think that is true, actually.
Got some radio stars made it. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of this guy. His name's Howard something. I don't know.
Yeah, radio. I mean, radio, I don't know that that's the fault of people on radio. That's a whole other topic in general. But the medium is a little bit left wanting at this point. Matt, I feel glad for these for kids if they're not in nature, right? I mean, why do we need to get bitten by bugs and snakes? And why do we need to experience that? Come on, just let them stay in the air condition, go to Google Camp, be on the internets, enjoy life. I mean, come on, that's what life's all about now, right?
Okay.
Technology?
Don't joke about the internets, okay? We all know that this is a very, very serious topic.
It is, I guess, in some ways.
You do not.
No, I do not want that. He doesn't deserve to be pixelated. Good point. All right, Matt, let's move on to our next story. phys.org, that's PHYS, I think short for physics, I'm not sure, I'm just going to go with phys.org, tells us of a partnership between UCLA and UC Mexico that aims to help the issue with Spanish-speaking students and mostly math difficulties, but in general, school is what they're sort of working towards and difficulties in classes. In the article, it mentions that in California, it's fairly common not to allow dual language instruction. Man, I find that shocking for a state like California, which clearly has a large dual language population.
Yeah, no, it seems kind of crazy. You know,
I mean, is this just, I mean, are we just so frightened of, is this something to do with our culture? We're scared that people aren't going to speak English and we need to speak English to be in America. I mean, is that what this is about? Or is there something else here with education? To me, it seems like making it easier for students to relate to something they're learning is going to help them not only learn it, but also help them learn the other language. When you cut them off from their native language, I don't see that being a good thing, but I guess there's reasons for it. I need to study up on what's done in California and why, but here they come. They bring in SOL, and in Spanish, it means sol, means bright and sunny. And in English, of course, we make everything boring. It stands for secondary online learning. But it basically allows for explanation in the student's native Spanish language, in this case, with introductions to English terms that sort of help them understand English a little bit better. It's being offered online for free this fall, and they say they want to make this a pretty inclusive scenario where there's lots of different courses available, and actually they want it to be moved into schools. They don't want it to be online. So are we, at this point in time, with the amount of foreign language people that we have, I mean, isn't it a little surprising that this is still such a huge hurdle for education?
Not really. It's not really surprising, but it's nice to see that something's actually being done for it. We go back a couple old episodes, and remember Skype, you were able to translate things in real time. So if I'm speaking Portuguese to you and you're, you know, listening to me in Farsi, we would actually be able to communicate with one another a lot easier. You would be able to, you know, theoretically understand some of the things I'm saying in my language. It would still be translated, but there would be a better communication that exists both ways.
I think that what that really brings problems for is more of your technical classes, right? Your science and your math, where those definitions and those word translations aren't exactly that easy. And I think that's why that they're focusing on math to begin with. I'm happy that they're doing this. I feel like a lot of times we see this in universities where they're out there trying to do things that they think are going to help, and it's not necessarily, I mean, obviously getting their name in the paper and all that might bring people to come to their schools, so it is maybe about money a little bit, but it seems like this is more about, let's try to do something that's going to help these students learn. Matt, I envision when you were talking about Skype Translator, I can't remember the name of the movie. I know there's probably multiple movies, but where you just put something around your neck and you talk and everyone hears you in that language. Wouldn't it be great if we could make that future right now? We could just end this language barrier right now.
That would be awesome. But I keep thinking of The Fifth Element with the guys at the end. Sorry.
No, that's a great movie. I'm trying to think of exactly what part you're talking about. Now you got me curious because I love that movie.
I'm trying to remember who. We're going to have to do this off.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We'll hit that up next time. We'll think about it, and maybe next time we can let the people know. I'm sure most people are aware of The Fifth Element. That's a pretty good flick. All right, so let's move on to our last story of the day. It's going to be a great resource for some teachers, especially of technical classes. Life Hacker explains that there's a place that you can get over 240 free technical ebooks from Microsoft. They're posted on a Microsoft blog, which I will put that link on our edtechweeklyshow.com, and I'll put it on edtechweeklyreddit.com as well, so that you can find that and you can get to those resources. Matt, Microsoft, man, I'm telling you, ever since Satya Nadella took over, I'm starting to like what they're doing there, man. I think giving free technical ebooks and letting people learn about these things, although there might also be, again, another internal motivation for Microsoft, they're doing some cool things for me. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Well, and I think it goes hand in hand with a lot of their other products. I mean, I work in cloud hosting a little bit, so, you know.
Azure.
Well, yeah.
Azure.
Microsoft Azure.
Azure.
Is a great product. that's out there, and it works hand in. I mean, it's a competitor to Google's new, cloud system and Amazon EC2. So building cloud apps with Microsoft Azure, it's kind of, gives you the ability to use other things. Programming Windows store apps with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. I mean, it's teaching you the basics of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. It's doing a lot of those extra things that'll help people. I always love the idea that there has to be, some books about Windows 10, and I'm sure that there's some old Microsoft database, thing from 1987 that exists in there. But all in all, I think it's great. I mean, it used to be, nefarious children would go on to AOL and go into the chat rooms and get wares
Oh,
and
AOL
copies of
chat
these things,
rooms.
and they'd threaten to come after you. So it's nice to see that they're, opening up the books, if you will, a little bit, and letting people sort of play around with this stuff and learn about it. Because,
It sounds like, Matt, you're speaking from experience here when you're talking about these nefarious children.
yeah, I don't know. I never had anything to do with them.
Well, I never.
Yeah, I've got the vapors. Dear
Are
heavens.
we in the South all of a sudden?
Yes. But I think it's great. I mean, I just think it opens it up, and it really is just going to make people actually want to use their products again. And I know that that sounds harsh, but for a long time, you'd buy a Microsoft product and you'd be given a chintzy little manual, and then you have to open up, this huge help center that didn't have, a real good system for you to be able to find out what you actually
Are
need help on. And
you
Clippy,
speaking ill of Clippy?
yeah,
Don't speak ill of Clippy. Come on,
Clippy was
Matt.
the least helpful thing they could have come up with. I actually
Oh, I
wish
don't know about
change
least
him to a
helpful.
wizard because I like the
Not
wizard.
least helpful. Bonsai Buddy is the least helpful thing anyone's ever come up with. I don't think that was Microsoft, to be fair, but do you know what Bonsai Buddy is, Matt?
Isn't that purple ape or something?
Yes. He used to type stuff and he would say stuff. We had a lot of fun with that in college until it somehow let some sort of a virus into my computer and destroyed my computer.
I
But
wonder how
hey.
anybody could have seen that coming.
Well, certainly not myself in college could not see that coming. It was just hilarious to have the purple ape say lots of funny things. That's all we knew. Yeah, I agree with you about Microsoft and their products, though. I look a lot at their products now and think, I would like to try that out and see how that works because they're starting to get their stuff everywhere. And we see this a lot, man. We've talked about this several times on this podcast already, where companies are giving or putting students in a position to learn things that are going to be good experiences for them. It may also benefit Microsoft, of course, because the more people that know how to use your programs, the more likely they're going to use those programs, and that helps. But I think this is a good sort of symbiotic relationship that could be balanced between education and business, where we start letting kids be exposed to this stuff, letting students be exposed and learn and decide, hey, is this something we want to do? Yeah, I want to look more into this. And if it pushes them to Microsoft for a job, that's not a bad thing. I mean, like you said in some of our earlier podcasts, we need to make sure it's balanced. So it's not just one company that takes control of one school and they don't get anything from anyone else. But I think there's some good ground to be made up in these areas by these big companies.
No, absolutely. And I think what something like this does, especially releasing all of these technical ebooks, is it sets Microsoft Azure apart from EC2 and Google's Cloud. Neither one of them have a definitive book or a Bible, if you will, as we used to call them back in the day, that explain everything you can and are able to do with it. I can grab an EC2 and I can build out something using CentOS, and I can throw on WHM cPanel if I want. All of a sudden, I've got my own, cloud-based web server. I know how to do that because I've been doing this for a while. Not everybody's going to be able to go and do that. Now, if you have a manual that can sort of go through and explain to you how to build a cloud app, the importance of, stratifying, HTML, CSS, JavaScript together to build the back end of something else, it really brings a whole lot of stuff together. And Microsoft has always been very, 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 very good at technical writing and explaining things to people on any level.
I think you left out C3PO. I don't think you mentioned C3PO on there. You mentioned a bunch of things that I didn't understand. So I'm sure there's a lot of people out there smarter than me that understand. But
And I'm probably going to get corrected because you wouldn't put HTML on the back end.
Well, hey, I would like something. Somebody tell us, correct us, tell us we're wrong, tell us something. Come on, we need some interaction. So anyway, we'll put those resources up for the free technical ebooks from Microsoft. So in the beginning of next school year, when you're hitting your classes and you have students who seem to be good at using those type of Microsoft things, you know, or just any of your students, turn them on to that, let them see some free information. And if they're into it, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Matt?
Well, I was also going to just add on to that. If you're...
Well, you're the MVP, so continue to add on.
If you work in a school that allows your students to use, or if they have a .edu email address, please go to Amazon EC2, go to Microsoft Azure, go to Google and find out a way to get your students, if they're allowed to grab some of these free products and play around with them. I mean, the cloud-based systems that you can create and play within, it's a complete sandbox. It's amazing. And if you have any students that are interested in it, please, please do that.
So if they Google those things you mentioned, they can find some information mm-hmm. and get that started, assuming that it's okay with whatever entity they work for.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's good. Matt, that's this week's episode, Unlucky 13. We made it through. I mean, I don't know if it's any more unlucky than any other of our episode numbers. I mean, hey, what are we going to do? Visit us at edtechweeklyshow.com. Get the links from the show, the stories that we talked about today. You can also get those links on edtechweekly.reddit.com. Follow me on Twitter at 4TechTeachers. That's the number 4TechTeachers. And you can call and leave a voicemail, 305-92-TECH2. Right, Matt? 305-92-TECH2.
I think we want to play that. You get a jingle for this.
305-92-TECH2. Boom. Done.
I can't wait until that's plastered above an amphitheater.
It's going to happen. The 305-92-TECH2 amphitheater hosting your Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
All right. We'll promise to play that first voicemail. So leave us a voicemail. We want to interact. And Matt, once again, I hate to put you on the spot. No, actually, I kind of like it. Words of wisdom for this unlucky number 13 episode.
Well, first, I'd like to just say I was not kidnapped in the past week. So there's no voicemail for that reason. So I've been given the dog tag. Sometimes
that's good.
You know, there are compromising situations. I get dumped in the ocean. Who knows what's going to happen? No one, you know, I made it to shore alive. I didn't have to have a police officer call and say, do you have a mat that you're missing? So I think we're good there.
If you missed last week's show, Matt said that he'd put the number for our show on a dog tag in case he went missing. So every week that we don't
never carry any other identification.
Every week that we don't get a voicemail, at the very least, we'll know that Matt's safe and sound.
Yes.
I love it. All right. See you next time on EdTech Weekly.
Glad I could bring it.